Can a survey change the future? Maybe this one can. Cannabis education is inconsistent at best and missing or misleading at worst. How can we make cannabis education better? What if we ask people who use or are thinking about using cannabis a bunch of questions? What if we ask pharmacists who could be teaching people about cannabis a bunch of questions? And then, what if the answers from those questions were used to help pharmacists teach people about cannabis better? Well, this is exactly what pharmacists as cannabis educators, or PACE, are doing. And PACE needs you to fill out a survey. PACE needs as many people as possible to fill out a survey. PACE needs you to fill out a survey on or before May 12th. This is a limited time offer for you to help change the future of cannabis education. To participate, go to promo.reefermed.ca. That's promo, P-R-O-M-O dot reefermed.ca.
And then you have to have somebody such as themselves or an administrator or a caregiver to give it to them, which is ludicrous because the nurses in the facilities, at least in the state of California, cannot gift them the cannabis that they need.
There's so many answers that lie dormant within those plants that we have yet to tap.
Hi, this is Biff Naked, and you're listening to the Reefer Madness podcast.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk. We're back.
Hey, how's it going?
I am doing really well. We have yet another cannabis store that has opened in Dauphin.
Yes, that makes three now.
Yeah, so I'm excited. You're excited. This is, what are we going to call it, a more indie store?
Yeah, we first met Spencer Payson in episode 75 in one of my road stories. You may remember his store was in Flin Flon when Michelle and I were traveling across the Northern Highway through Saskatchewan. So he has since opened up a store in Dauphin, so this makes his second. And it's been a few months, and I figured I'd go say hello to him and asked if we could get a little bigger, longer interview than we did the first time, because I wanted to get some insights on what's it like to own a rec store, right? We've talked to scientists, we've talked to academics, we've talked to PhDs, doctors, nurses, and we've talked to bud tenders, and most owners or most managers of big stores like Tweed's and they're not prepared to talk to me. And I haven't met a lot of owners. This summer I have, and I'll get to it after the end of this interview. But this was a summer of me meeting owners of small stores. And this is an interview I had with Spencer Payson.
He's a fascinating guy. We'll talk more later, but I'm just going to listen for his, I'm the Costco of cannabis, you know. Obviously he can't use that in, you know, Costco, but you know, that's a really nice tagline or elevator pitch. Why should I come to your store? Well, I'm the Costco of cannabis. If that doesn't sort of reel you in, I don't know what will.
But he's also a vape store. He's a lot of things, but he's an independent, and we had a very frank discussion. The conversation kind of goes into some interesting rabbit holes, but at the end, we'll sum it up at the end. It starts with him talking about his SKUs, and it's almost like we're doing an advertising of Spencer's stores, which I guess in a sense we are.
Sure. Yeah.
But we're also getting down into the nuances of a little bit about the cannabis industry, and I like his view of it.
All right.
So you want to just get right into it?
Yep. Let's listen to Spencer.
My name is Spencer Payson, CEO of Payson's Joint.
And what is Payson's Joint?
Payson's Joint is I like to describe us as the Costco of cannabis. We have e-cigarettes, all the accessories for consumption of cannabis, whether it's pipes, glass pipes, wood pipes, stone pipes, bubblers. We got a wide selection of dry herb vaporizers, concentrate vaporizers, tabletop vaporizers, both for dry herb and concentrates. We have a wide selection of 510 batteries for our cannabis cartridges.
Okay.
Currently, we have about 580 SKUs, cannabis SKUs in stock.
580 SKUs.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not including what's in the vault ready to come out on the floor.
So what does that represent? How many LPs does that represent?
The top of my head, there's probably over 40.
40, and they're across Canada?
Yeah.
Okay. Just off the top of my head, what is the best-selling LP in your stores? Without promoting an LP, just what, or maybe, or bud or bread. Well,
Aphria has the widest offering.
Say that again, sorry?
Aphria.
Aphria, okay.
Yeah, so they have Good Supply, Canica. They're a Good Supply brand. In Flin Flon, their Jean-Guy is our highest selling ounce. And it's not the cheapest, but it is the highest selling ounce.
Okay.
Consistently comes in at a good THC level. The price range is about $105 an ounce. Okay.
Interesting. It was the John Gee that when I interviewed the bud tender at Garden Variety, he recommended the John Gee. Mm-hmm. So John Gee is a very popular varietal.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's I'd say it's the top selling
cultivar
sativa strain in my stores.
Okay. Okay, and why do you think that it is?
THC level, like sativas, it's hard to find a higher THC level. So we're looking in between 20-25% usually.
Okay.
Sometimes it comes in at around that 25% mark, and
okay,
you know, it's relatively reasonably priced.
Okay. So do you think people are buying their cannabis? Are they measuring the variety or the value of the cannabis by the THC level?
I'd say so. Try to educate customers about like the terpenes,
right,
of the strains. That way, you know, some people might find they don't like certain strains. It makes them feel anxious, or people are apprehensive because they tried cannabis once.
Right.
And it gave them an anxiety attack. You can just smoke a different strain and immediately change the type of experience you're having, right?
Right.
So finding stuff that works good.
So how do you help a client do that? You're so restricted. Bud tenders are restricted in what they can say.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you educate your staff to educate their clients?
I find certain types of terpenes are going to give you certain types of symptoms.
Symptoms? Okay.
Yeah. So like, you know, and just describing those type of like effects to a customer,
okay,
like, you know, do you like something that's got a harsher throat hit to it? No. Okay. You like something more smooth? I can eliminate a whole bunch of products from, okay, like, you know, to refer to you now. And then from there, you know, are you looking to have something that's like functional or, you know, more sedative? And then from there, I can narrow down which strains will work best for you.
Okay, so someone comes, so you ask them questions. So tell you what, ask me a series of questions to find out what type of flower I'd be interested in.
So, like, do you like a harsh throat hit?
No. Okay. Who does?
You would be surprised.
Really? Okay. All right. No.
Okay. So you like more smoother strains?
Yeah, I don't want to be coughing when I, mm-hmm, when I inhale.
Do you like aroma wise? Do you like something that's more like fruity or citrusy?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. You're talking about the smell of the bud, right?
Yeah.
I like a real pine, foresty smell.
Okay. And that's where the Jean-Guy comes in.
So I just slipped right in the Jean-Guy, didn't I? Isn't that interesting? I'm consistent. Okay, is that because of the pining?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like, and the type of effects it's going to produce, right, is going to be something that's focused.
Okay.
So again, by asking people, like, what are you wanting to do? Are you just going to sit down and watch a movie?
Okay.
You know, I can make recommendations. Like, are you just trying to go to sleep? Okay, well, you can try these ones.
Yeah, I think when I talk to and I know his name will come to me at the end of the interview, the fella at Garden Variety, is that I was cutting my grass. Like, I spend a lot of time in my yard in the summertime. So I guess John Gies is a sativa, so apparently it's more of a stimulant opposed to in the couch, right?
Yeah.
Do you follow that trend that indica and sativas have different effects? Do you guys, is it part of your training?
I do. Like, a lot of the staff follow that. I don't necessarily believe that to be 100% true, but the terpenes that are primarily in indica are more sedative, whereas the ones in sativa are more energetic, uplifting.
Okay, because there's some that say that calling cannabis, categorizing cannabis by being sativa or indica is so past now because everything has been so blended that it's hard to have a true land race, I guess.
Well, like, I find like a lot of strains now, like especially like indica ones, they're not as sedative anymore. Although I've found like a few, like Highland Grow White Lightning or Cherry Burst.
Okay.
Like, if you don't want to have a thought going through your head for the next 3 hours, I recommend one of those two strains.
I love the way you described that. No thinking.
The first time I tried White Lightning, I was texting my then girlfriend, and she had just sent me a reply as I finished packing my bowl and my bong. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to respond to that after I take this rip. I took the rip, I picked up the phone, and I had Netflix on. And I'm looking at the phone, I start typing, and then my attention just gets drawn to the TV. And I stop, and then like 5-10 minutes goes by, I'm like, oh yeah, texting. And then I start like typing again. It took me 45 minutes to send her a text. And she started getting mad at me because it was taking too long.
Because she's seeing the bubbles, right? Yeah. She's seeing the bubbles, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than doing that when you're anticipating somebody to send you something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are an owner of two stores now.
Yeah.
This is your second store. And you're a private business. So how many staff do you have working for you?
There and here, I say about 20 staff.
So you employ 20 people. That's a pretty big payroll.
Yeah.
You have, and your store hours are
9 a.m. till 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and 12 till 8 on Sundays.
Okay, is that split into two shifts then?
Yeah.
So that's why you have so many staff. Yeah. I guess. Okay. What type of training do you give your staff?
So we have, depending on what level you're at of employment, anyone walking the door starting at the lowest level, I have two manuals, but it's about like 700 pages.
Oh, wow.
To read over with you. One is just policies and procedures, and then we go over product training. We have a whole segment on cannabis that we go through, and then also all the accessories we carry, or at least all the categories of accessories we carry. And then after that, as you move in to higher up positions, we have other training that involves our POS and
POS?
Yeah. Like our point of sales.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's like, it's into the business side of things.
Yeah.
But the cannabis expertise. So your 700-page manual. Mm-hmm. So that is an educational, that's I guess organizational behavior education.
Yeah.
So how much cannabis education is involved?
I would say the cannabis education is probably at least 30 pages. It goes into like, you know, the differences between indicas and sativas, the type of effects. There's a whole segment on terpenes and their effects.
To get into the endocannabinoid system.
Yep.
And the receptors, CBD receptors. Yep. So you teach your staff that.
Yep.
The reason why I ask is because what we're finding, Trevor and I, is that in the medical side, nurses, doctors, physiotherapists, health professionals are not taught the endocannabinoid system.
They don't really know anything. they read a lot of the research coming out, but like that, I've actually had arguments with doctors.
Yeah, in regards to what? Tell me a story about that.
Oh, like I had a doctor talking down to me as if I was a drug addict because I smoked what was equivalent to a pencil eraser of cannabis every day.
A pencil eraser? Well, yeah, how big is a pencil eraser?
Like, you know, about the ones like a one-hitter, like three one-hitters worth of cannabis every day.
Oh, and three like, one-hitters, that's not a lot of cannabis.
Yeah, and like I told her, that's not a lot. And she
you're talking about the top of a pencil.
Yeah, just the eraser off a pencil.
That's all you smoke?
Yeah, that's what I smoked at that time.
Okay.
And
okay.
The doctor was talking to me like I was a drug addict.
Gee whiz, man, that wouldn't fill a bowl.
No.
Okay, so I cut you off.
It
so
wasn't even enough to get like a real high, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was just enough to give you a sense of relaxation.
So were you using it medicinally then at that low dose?
Like, it was just after work. You know, I had two kids, so, like, I couldn't be stoned out of my face. Right. So it was just, like, a little one-hitter, take the edge off, go and spend time with the family, kids go to bed, have maybe one or two more.
Okay, I do this. I interrupt people, and I apologize. Carry on. So, where were you having this discussion? In a clinic or in a?
Yeah, it was actually at a doctor's office.
Okay, so you're having your appointment with your doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to shut up.
And what was actually the cause was I had started drinking craft beers. And, like, when I was younger, I was allergic to beer. Like, I would puke 6 beers in a night, and I would puke for 12 hours straight the next day.
Okay.
So I started drinking. I wasn't having really any ill effects. So I figured, okay, I outgrew this allergy that I had, right? So this went on for about a couple months, and I started to notice that I just started to feel exhausted. Sometimes this level of exhaustion would last for, like, a week. Okay. And then it would stop. And just as I start feeling better, I'd be like, okay, I have another couple drinks over the course of the weekend. I'm not, like, over drinking, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, maybe 1-2 drinks a day. And by Sunday, all of a sudden, I'm just exhausted again. And that, I would go to bed and wake up feeling just as exhausted as when I went to sleep, right?
Okay.
And so I'm telling the doctor this, and she's like, you're depressed. I'm like, I'm not depressed. And she started arguing with me, and I started telling her that I used cannabis, and she was like, oh, self-medicating. And she's like angrily typing and talking down to me. And then finally,
right,
I told her, like, look, I own a business on Main Street. I'm about to, you know, me and my buddies have a huge multi-million dollar investment. I'm about to go and help them grow their business. Like, I need to be on my A game. I need help right now. And then at that point, she finally stopped. I'm like, okay, I'll get you a blood test. And then when I got the blood test, everything came back fine. So I was sitting there talking to the nurse, going over my blood test. And that's when we started, like, going deeper into, like, what's going on in my life. And then I brought up the drinking and that I used to be allergic when I was younger. And he's like, you probably still have an allergy.
Right, right.
And, like, that's the effect now that it is.
Right.
And even today, like, if I drink too much on a weekend, and, like, I don't really drink any often. It's been, like, almost a year since last time I drank. But if I drink too much on a weekend, I'll feel the effects the week after for quite a while. Like, low energy. My body actually found out the last time I went and got a blood test is that if I drink, my kidneys stop processing vitamin B.
Oh, interesting.
So, and it was...
Vitamin B is important for
energy.
For energy and everything. Yeah, yeah.
So that's what it came down to was the alcohol affects my kidneys' ability to be able to process vitamin B.
But I guess the story started because of the ignorance of the healthcare system. And that's your experience, is the physician was ignorant towards your use of cannabis.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a concern I have too. Which sort of kind of segues me into asking the next sort of question, and that is, how many people come into your store getting medicinal cannabis? Now, I know you're a rec store, and do you have a medicinal business?
No,
because it has to be online, right? Yeah. So do you have people coming in here for medicinal cannabis? Oh, yeah.
Like, as far as, like, the laws are concerned, if you have used cannabis to treat something, that a customer is coming in saying, like, hey, I'm experiencing the same thing. Well, I have used cannabis for this reason.
Right.
Or other customers say that this helps for this.
Okay.
So it's how you word it that matters. We're not making any medical claim.
Okay.
If we were to say, like, oh, yeah, this cures cancer, now we're making a medical statement, right? It's an absolute. We just don't make an absolute statement. I train my staff to not make absolute statements.
But as a businessman, it benefits you that they come here and buy your cannabis.
Yeah.
How do you think as a citizen? like, do you think that's a good way the medical cannabis system should be run? Is that they come to a rec store for their cannabis?
Well, I think doctors should be more educated on it. Like, even prior to prohibition, and I always bring this up, almost every medication we used contained cannabis to some degree. even cough medication. Like, I even tell everyone, I'm like, if you ever get a cold, buy some edibles, eat them before you go to bed. It will suppress your cough. And then when you wake up, you'll hack up all that phlegm, and then you'll feel fine.
It works. Right.
And, you know,
that's not something you can say at the counter.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, yeah?
Because I've personally done it.
Oh,
so
I'm see
not,
what you're saying.
Not saying that this is sold as cough medication.
I see what you're saying.
This is my personally experience. Use it to suppress my cough because it will suppress it. And then the next day, as it wears off, you'll cough up all that phlegm.
Right. Yeah. Right. See, and I use chicken soup and garlic.
Yeah.
And I actually tell my clients, my patients in the clinic, I'll say, you know, as a nurse, I'll say to them, you got a cold, chicken soup and garlic. There's been research. It does work.
If I'm really feeling bad, like I can feel congestion, sometimes I just grab garlic and honey and I just eat a couple
honey,
of cloves.
Yep.
Cloves of garlic. It's going to taste horrible, but you chew it up, swallow it really quick, take it down with a spoon of honey. Now, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
Be careful about garlic. I mean, it tastes wonderful according to some people. You may have insulted somebody there. You are an owner of two stores. You've just moved to Dauphin. I guess don't give away too much of your business plan, but welcome to Dauphin.
Thank you.
Why Dauphin?
Well, I lived here years ago, briefly. And I really enjoyed the community. I thought it was a beautiful community. You know, the park's right down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So even now, prior to the store opening, when my girlfriend comes out here, we go and spend the weekends out at the park.
Rocky Mountain?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a lovely area.
Yeah. Have you been to the bike trails?
Not the bike trails, but I've been told about them, and I have a bike.
Oh, you have a mountain bike?
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
The one over by the Country Fest.
Yeah. Get up there.
Me and my girlfriend went to the museum out there, and we came across the trails and saw a gentleman riding his bike down. So we're asking him. We were looking at the map.
It's an impressive. It's the province's best trails.
Yeah.
What are you? Have you moved to town, or are you still living in?
Yeah, no, I moved to town, so I'm here, not permanently, but I'll be here for the next few months while I get the staff all trained up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, is there any question I didn't ask you that you'd like to talk about your business? I mean, we should introduce your business, I guess.
Yes.
We're doing right at the end.
Payson's Joint on 207 Main Street North in Dauphin. And we're open 9 a.m. till 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and 12 till 8 on Sundays.
Okay.
And we have the widest selection of cannabis in the parkland.
Great.
With over, I think at the end of today, we'll be over 600 SKUs.
Okay. By when you get stuff out of the bank.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a huge selection of every category, pre-rolls, infused pre-rolls.
And you're also a vape shop too.
And we're also a vape shop.
Yeah. So what is your, what do you think?
I really liked, you know, not surprising as a pharmacist, when you guys got into the medical bit. You know, there's lots of interesting stuff in there, and you know, I think it's perfectly reasonable when, you know, someone comes in and he asks, you know, do you want a harsh throat hit, which I'm with you, why? I don't want to cough. Or, you know, is this it? What did he say? Or do you want to smoke this and not have a thought for 2 hours? Again, not a sales pitch to me in particular, but you know, if that's what you're looking for, he knows how to help that. So those were, you know, from a rec point of view, those were very interesting. But you know, when people, you know, because they do come in looking for sleep or looking for anti-anxiety or looking for pain, and Health Canada is very specific saying that bud tenders can't give medical advice. But, and I'm not a legal expert by any stretch, and I do not think that Payson staff is doing anything wrong, but it's interesting how they interpret how, because of the questions come up, how they handle that.
Yeah. this has been an interesting summer for me. This conversation happened in June, right? And during that time, we talked. And like I said, as we went into this, the conversation went in some interesting places. And there was a point there where he was saying how he uses it for a cough. And I was thinking, oh, buddy, you got to be careful. But then how he interprets it, that he's done it himself. So he shares that. You'll remember that... episode 104 with Linda Belneves, yep. Dr. Belneves, she went in and basically her survey taught us that more than 50% of the people who are medically authorized to use cannabis are going to rec stores. So that really prompted me this summer. We're going to be doing another episode of Road Stories, because I've been going to rec stores and meeting bud tenders. And as I did with Spencer, I'm asking the question, are people coming in for medical cannabis?
Of course they are.
Yes, they are. And well, of course they are, but it's validated, you know, in a sense that we've got a university study that talks about it, and I've got anecdotal study and you know, subjectively going to talk to people about it. Now, I'll remind some of our listeners that we have a blog page. My last blog was all about rec store medicine being undocumented. And so I went out there and wanted to find out, and it's happening. That's the part of this story that really bothers me, is that the medical system is promoting people to get their medical cannabis from a rec store. Now, back in the day, 40 years ago, I can remember reading charts where doctors actually documented their suggestion that someone has a bottle in the cabinet that if you want a wee dram before bed, it would help you sleep. It was documented. It was so. Therefore, you as a pharmacist would know the person's using alcohol at bedtime, right? When a doctor sends somebody to a rec store, are they documenting it? Are they documenting what the patient's using? Are they documenting how much the patient gets, success or not success? So that when you audit their charts, you know they're an active cannabis user. I would say, no, it's not happening.
No.
And I think
I
think that's criminal. Yeah,
go ahead.
Sorry. No.
Yeah. No. I agree. And we've talked before. I'll throw in my two cents. I don't think the bed tenders are doing anything wrong. Yep. I think they're put in a difficult/impossible situation. You know, they are legally not supposed to do any medical advice, but people are coming to them. But even worse, like you said, it's not all doctors, not all the time. But we have heard of doctors who have specifically told patients, just go to the rec store. You wouldn't tell a patient, like you said, well, you know, just go down to the liquor store and buy a bottle of wine. It might help with your anxiety.
But they did at one time.
Yeah, I know. But back to your point, A, they wouldn't do it at all now. But B, if they did, they would mark down on the chart, like you said, you know, 1 ounce of X at bedtime. And then at least, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, we, like you said, now we have an idea. You know, cannabis is not a dangerous substance, but there are a few medications that you probably shouldn't take with it. You know, cannabis is not a dangerous substance, but as we talked about a few episodes ago, there is this cannabis hyperemesis syndrome. It is very rare but you know... cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. But if you have somebody with, you know, unexplained vomiting all the time, but no one has documented that they're a regular cannabis user, it's going to be hard to make these links. So just, you know, why aren't we trying to have this part of the medical system? And let's even go for someone's got some arthritis and you know, this is really working. Well, that should be documented too. You know, maybe things are going really well. So why is it outside the medical system? Why can't it come together?
Especially when we do have a medical system. And anyways, so this is, you know, this is what I wanted to do with this story. Spencer, it was a good conversation. But I wanted this story in there because it validates an opinion that our understanding about how the healthcare system needs to recognize cannabis as medicine, and maybe rec stores should have a health professional. Maybe that's what the Health Canada should do, is that every rec store must have a health professional to discuss the medical side, like they do in Colorado, right? Go back to, I can't even remember what episode that was. That was way back when we were doing season three in episodes. But when I went down to Colorado, and they had the medical side on one side and the rec side on another side, and people got their cannabis from down the street, right? Just like, honest to God. And then doctors need to track it.
Yeah. And, you know,
just my two cents.
No. And, you know, because there's all sorts of interesting things that could be done. You know, maybe they just, you know, past friends of the show, maybe, you know, you go into a rec store and you use it for XYZ, but you pull out strain print and, you know, you put that information in and use it on your own. But then the information goes back to your nurse practitioner. Again, just we're in 2023. There are ways to get people in the loop. You know, maybe we have a teledoc talking to you or a telepharmacist or
This is not a difficult.
There are many ways to fix this.
Well, maybe the first thing we should do is all health professionals should get at least a minimum bud tender course on cannabis.
Yeah, or let's get even simpler because we talked about this many times. Maybe the endocannabinoid system should be in pharmacy, nursing, physician.
No.
Just mention like, it. Like, one class mentioned it exists. Let's start there.
Do you think the new pathophysiology programs textbooks are coming out with the endocannabinoid system? You know, I'm going to do that research. I'm going to find if the new textbooks have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's going to be my next project.
All right.
Anyways, I'm Kirk Nyquist. I'm the registered nurse.
I'm Trevor Schufeld. I'm the pharmacist. It's been another good one.
We are Reefer Medness, the podcast.
We are. Find us at reefermed.ca and all those their podcast platforms. And on your podcast platform, please give us a review and some thumbs ups. And it all of those help other people find us, so, you know, other people can hear us say podcast improperly.
And share us on social media, because the new social media guidelines are preventing us from getting heard in social media. So people, if you're listening to us, tell a friend, go to our social media, spread the word. Reefer Medness, the podcast, produced right here in Dauphin, Manitoba, Canada. Pretty much the center of the continent.
So we're each about to go do some traveling through the white shell, so maybe next time we can talk about rocks and lakes and trees.
Sure. Well, we'll do that in my cannabis store. I'm gonna stop at a couple other cannabis stores on the way down to the white shell and see what other bud tenders can tell us about the industry.
All right, Kirk, it's been another good one. We'll see everybody later.
Excellent, guys, that was another good one. It's Renee here back in the studio with a couple of things to wrap up the show. One is our acknowledgement that we produce our shows on Treaty 2 territory, which is the homeland of the Métis. We pay our respects to the First Nations and Métis ancestors of this land as we reaffirm our relationships. We end up each episode with a song, and since Kirk and Trevor are both off to the White Shell to look at rocks and lakes and trees, we're going to play Rocks and Trees by the Arrogant Worms. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Medness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Medness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermed.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next.
My country's bigger than most, and if fast I boast, 'cause I'm really proud, so I shout it loud. Though our numbers are few, we will welcome you. Although we don't have history, gold medal winning teams, heroes or prisoners, world famous volcanoes, still what we've got's glorious. 'Cause we've got rocks and trees and trees and rocks and 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 water. All right, everyone! We've got rocks and trees and trees and rocks and 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 rocks and
It's an impressive. It's the province's best trails.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna cut this open. I'm forgetting the name. What's it called? North.
Northgate.
Northgate. Yeah. Thank you. Forgot the trail. I'm out there twice a week, three times a week. Yeah. I love it.